Today is May 6, 2015, and this is episode number 305 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, Nilla Waif. To get the story, the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, I've been waiting to do that one for like an hour. You can visit macobserver.com/ACM, and if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
You know, vanilla wafers, the real ones, excuse me, Nilla wafers.
Okay, thank you. I was going to be upset.
Are dairy-free. So I can eat them.
You were so wrong. So funny. I looked at the ingredients to see if you could eat these. They have whey in them.
Specifically, oh, they do?
They list milk as an ingredient. Oh, no, they list milk in their disclosures.
Okay, so then it must be one of the knockoffs.
Ah,
that I can have.
Because yeah, there's no way something this tasty doesn't have a little bit of dairy in it.
I can't do the whey. So, well, your cookies are safe. Brian.
Fair enough.
This time.
I am the Nilla Waif. And my theme song, my rap song, goes something like, fa 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 fa, something like that, right?
I am just totally getting my groove thing on.
Nilla Waif. All right. Well, that stupidity aside... That stupidity aside, we have a little bit of interesting news this morning. We actually have several bits of interesting news, but the thing that I thought we could start off with is the so-called AppleBot.
The AppleBot. Well, it's not so-called. Apple actually calls it that.
That's true. Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay, so for those of you playing at home that aren't up to speed with us yet, AppleBot is a web crawler that Apple has. And a web crawler is a tool that goes out and indexes content on websites. If that sounds familiar, that's because that's what Google and Bing and other search engines do, so that when you get your search results, there's actually something relevant to show you. So now Apple is doing that too, but they're saying that they're doing it to collect information to enhance Siri, Spotlight, and other services.
Uh-huh. And your conclusion from that is?
For now, Apple is doing this to simply enhance the search results that it's providing to its customers. And this is not a play to take on Google or Bing head on.
Or better yet, LOL.
Now, that could change in the future, but I think for now, this is really what Apple is
Listen, Apple, so wrong. For one thing, Siri and Spotlight are both products intended to leapfrog Google. So by definition, even if it is only for Siri and Spotlight, this is Apple going up against Google, Bing, and everybody else.
All right, how about if I clarify my statement? Because Apple is, in a manner of speaking, going up against Google and Bing by doing this. I don't think this means Apple is going to create like a web page search engine like Google and Bing have today.
I think Apple will.
If they it's going to be a few years down the road, I think.
Working on it for a few years. Yeah, this is the most we have diametrically opposed each other
for a while.
In a long time. I absolutely think that Apple will eventually launch a search engine, and I think they've been working on it for a long time. And I think that part of their goal is certainly to leapfrog with the Siri and Spotlight, but that search in and of itself is also a thing, and that by doing search, Apple can cut Google's knees out from under it.
Well, I think that Apple is leveraging all the work that Microsoft for Bing and Google for Google have been doing over the years and rebranding it as their own, in essence, and throwing in their own search content on top of that through AppleBot. So I think they're trying to get the best of both worlds here. they get to use someone else's hard work, but then put their own name on it.
Well, yeah, there's money being exchanged for that hard work, by the way.
Sure, but Apple is still presenting the results as your Siri results, not your Google results that Siri found, or your Bing results that Siri found.
Yeah, that's true. But by doing its own crawling, by amassing its own search engine, and quite frankly, by finding, if Apple has found a way to present search better than Google, because no one, in my opinion, no one is doing search better than Google.
I will agree with you.
But if Apple has found a better way, because I think that I do think that Apple can do search better than Google if Apple cares to do so. Right? I think that Apple is probably one of the only companies that could out Google in this particular front area thing market. But only if they're trying to. And they're certainly, I mean, you know, maybe they're not trying to. But I think that Apple is looking to utterly replace Google, Bing, and anybody else in not only Siri and Spotlight, but eventually through straight up search, through outright search, as opposed to the indirect search, which is what Siri and Spotlight cover at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I'm still not thinking that Apple is getting ready to do a major sidestep around Google or Bing.
Why? They do this with everything. Everything they do, they eventually want to do it themselves.
Well, eventually, but I don't think it's coming right away.
Well, yeah, it might not come 6 months from now or 3 months from now or 4 months from now. But again, I think that Apple's actually been working on this for several years and will continue to work. I mean, yeah, okay, it probably isn't going to happen in the next 6 months, but it probably will happen within the next 2 years.
Maybe. I'm just having a hard time with that. But, you know, this wouldn't be the first time that I've said this is not what Apple's going to do, and then totally out of spite, they turn around and do exactly that.
Well, with your track record of instant rejection, I think that people should be rushing to Vegas and finding someone that will that will give them odds. Yeah, hey, is this Loan Shark McGee? Nah, yeah, I want to make a bet.
Yeah, that Lone guy Sharker. Jeff on the internet, he said Apple ain't going to do this.
Yeah, I meant Bookie McGee. Bookie McGee is what I should have said.
That's exactly anyway. What you should have said. Lone but, you know, mostly pedantic.
Lame. That actually was just lame. Anyway, I think that Apple should go into search. Now, that's absolutely coloring my impression on this. I thought that Apple should go into search for a while. But in addition to believing that Apple should, I believe that Apple has been working on this for a long time. And that we've been seeing little bits and pieces of it with Siri and Spotlight, and that Apple's going to get more and more serious about this area. And, you know, for a number of reasons too. One, to keep Google from getting data, because that is Google's weak spot. And two, to have utter control over that entire user experience. But to, you know, they're going to have to do search better, significantly better than Google. And significantly better, by the way, could include simply not doing ads.
Okay, see, that's a key thing right there. If Apple is looking at really doing their own search engine, I don't think that they can reasonably do it with ads, at least for a while, because that would be a key differentiator. And, okay, actually, here's another thing with the ads. Part of the mantra Apple has had for a long time has been that we, meaning you and I, the customers, are not the product. And
right.
Once you start doing ads in search engines, that's a very slippery slope to users becoming the product.
It's true. Of course, I've never had a problem with my search results being used to tailor ads for me. That's actually like an area where I'm fine with it. It's just when someone's going to start rifling through my email like Google does with Gmail.
Right.
Or, you know, rifling through every website that I visit, which Google does with all of its Google login services and with AdSense and AdWords and all of its ad services.
Right. Tracking, you know, all just, your daily activity.
Yeah. It's yeah. that I have a problem with. Like, looking at what I'm searching for and then giving me ads based on that, I've never had a problem even with Google doing that. Stuff's got to be paid for somehow.
It does.
But, yes. You know, Apple doesn't necessarily have to. Apple doesn't necessarily have to earn ad revenue with a search engine simply because it's using that search engine to sell its hardware that it sells at a profit.
It's like you read my mind, because the next thing I was going to ask, and I totally get this is rhetorical because we don't know the answer. Would an Apple search engine generate enough revenue through hardware sales to make it worth the investment for Apple?
Yeah, sure. Apple could make a search engine pay for itself. For sure. Google makes quite a bit of money doing what Google does.
Right, but I mean without the search engine having to be a revenue generator of its own accord, meaning no ads in the search engine. And instead, because the search engine is there, it is driving sales of hardware, which is Apple's big goal. They want to sell iPhones and Macs and iPads.
Well, keep in mind that right now we don't get ads with Siri. We don't get ads with Spotlight.
Right.
And Spotlight in Yosemite was a big part of that leapfrogging of traditional search engines, right? So we're already seeing some of what Apple is doing in search, and they're not generating ad revenue from it. So Apple, my point being that Apple already clearly believes that it can sell more hardware by doing this.
Yes, but is it...
There's a scaling issue, though.
Yeah, and so does it scale up if they have complete control over the search engine, or does it scale better if they are... just using someone else's search engine and then enhancing the results with their own content?
The using other people, which Apple has been doing from the get-go on this, is I've always thought was a means to an end. You know, just like Apple makes its own processors now, and just like Apple, runs its own network for content delivery, and on and on and on. I've always seen, well, not always, for a long time I've seen Apple's use of Google and or Bing as stepping stones.
All right, so next question, which I don't have the answer to. So so this is more of a general question. I wonder how long AppleBot has been doing its thing. Because if Apple is planning on at some point launching their own full-on search engine, they need to have a lot of data in place before they start, because they can't have people flipping out the way they did when they switched from Maps. And I totally get that their hand was there's a poker term when you have your hand and you have to just go with it. Mr. Pokerman, help me out here.
Yeah, I'm not aware of this. You play the hand you're dealt. But that's
their
just
hand
it.
Was I mean, forced. That's what I was thinking. Their hand was forced, which actually isn't a poker thing.
I don't think it's a poker term.
Yeah. So I think their hand was forced with Maps, because they just had to launch.
No, man, they did not. Man, listen, the way to do Maps was to launch it as an optional service while Google Maps remained the default search engine.
Except Apple was in a position where they didn't feel it was appropriate to continue on having Google as the default,
yeah,
because of what Google wanted out of the deal.
Yeah, but they actually still had several months left where they could have done that, though. You know, at the very least, they should have done that for several months, and they could have negotiated another.
Yeah, you're right. They should have done that. But for whatever reason, they must have felt their hand was being forced.
No, I think it's a little Scott Forstall. Scott Forstall made a huge mistake. He oversold it to us. I'm guessing he oversold it to Tim Cook too.
Well,
I blame all that on Scott. Scott Forstall messed up. Scott is an amazing individual who has accomplished more in his life than I have, but he messed up with Apple Maps.
And I agree completely. And it may be his actions and his statements and what he was telling Tim and everyone else that put Apple in the position where they felt that this was the time to roll with their own maps, when in fact it wasn't. But my bigger point is Apple learns from their mistakes, and they're not going to let a maps mistake happen again.
Right. No, I agree with that. Yeah. If Apple launches a search engine, it's going to be pretty much good to go. I mean, they could launch it in beta. And that was the other thing, is that Apple Maps wasn't labeled a beta. Right, but so they could launch a beta search engine. The issue will be how well they can present those services and whether or not they need to do ads. By the way, I would find it ironic if it was Apple that ended up devaluing search by making it free, the way that Microsoft killed Netscape by making Internet Explorer free.
Oh, that would be interesting.
And because Apple could punch Bing and Google where it hurts if Apple can actually do it right and then do it without serving ads.
That would be a huge thing. That would completely change the internet search market.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't think it would completely change it. Google wouldn't have to suddenly go free. Google can't go free, for one thing.
No, Google can't go free. But they would have to emphasize or they would have to find new ways to really exploit the revenues they're getting from other parts of their businesses, as opposed to just assuming that internet search was always going to be the bread and butter.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, they would take a hit to both the top line and the bottom line.
Yes.
And it would quite frankly hurt Google. Google has been diversifying greatly, but search is where they make all their money. And until they get those self-driving cars going, it's going to be where they make all their money. Or something else that we don't know about.
Yeah, they're robot overlords or whatever.
Skynet.
Skynet.
Yeah. So I don't know. Long story short, I think that Apple is eventually going to make a much bigger play in search, and that by definition of the fact that Siri and Spotlight are both leapfrogging traditional search, that this is part of Apple's plan to go head to head.
And I think Apple will continue to expand their control over search. I don't think it's going to happen as quickly as you're saying.
All right, hold on. Let me scribble out a note to Bookie McGee.
Yeah, go ahead, because it's clear that Apple listens to our show on a regular basis, so that they can, as I've said, merely to spite me, change major parts of their business plans. They've done it before, and personally, I find it very disrespectful.
Yeah, you know, fair enough. You know, all right. Let's see here. Shall we move on to the music stuff?
Sure. Let's move on to some music stuff.
Music stuff. Well, tell us what the news was.
So this is the whole Apple streaming services thing, right? I just want to make sure, because last week I totally went off with a completely different story.
We're so professional here. We are so professional. Yes, Jeff, this is the streaming story that we heard.
Okay, just wanted to make sure, you know, so that I'm not getting like in a side chat somewhere. What story are you talking about?
Well, I did send you a little note to see if you were for sure that you're using the right mic.
I do appreciate that.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right.
Hold on. I'm double checking right now just to be sure.
We have top men on this.
Top men. Anyhow, so there's the EU has already launched their own little inquiry into Apple and the way they're handling their negotiations for their rumored Beats streaming music service. And now the DOJ in the United States is doing the same. And so what they're doing is looking into reports. I don't know if there's like formal complaints to go along with this, but reports that Apple is
probably, but yeah, there are probably your formal complaints.
Yes, that would, yeah, that seems.
But we don't. But we don't know for sure.
Right. So anyhow, these complaints that we assume are there are saying that Apple is putting pressure on record labels to pull out the free with advertisement streaming music options when they renegotiate their contracts with the companies that will be Apple's competitors, meaning companies like Spotify. So,
right.
So that would mean that free internet music streaming services would come to an end. You would have to pay for any of them.
Right. Which is interesting. So we had the EU has been investigating this for a while.
Right. Not a formal investigation, though.
Yeah, just poking around.
Poking around, as one does.
Just poking around. And the DOJ just announced its own poking around. Still not a formal investigation, right?
Right. And this is all for a service that Apple has not confirmed. So still, it is technically only a rumor.
Okay, wait. Why is it only... The DOJ is looking into this, right?
No, the service is still a rumor.
DOJ
looking into it is definitely not a rumor.
Yeah, whatever. We know that Apple's working on this.
Of course we do.
They have been working on it since they bought Beats.
Yeah, of course we do. But it's just... It's one of those little tidbits that I find to be just really interesting that Apple hasn't officially announced that they're doing or that they're going to have a streaming music service. And yet there are investigations on two continents into the negotiations to make this happen.
Right. Right. But that's because while Apple hasn't announced it, they are negotiating with people, and because they're negotiating with people, word leaks, and you know, we know they're doing it. Plus, they bought Beats in the first place, and we know that the Apple executives have said enough about
right.
this space to know that they're doing it all.
Right. Yeah. So it would be a huge surprise if Apple didn't launch a streaming music service, because it's. At this point, essentially a foregone conclusion.
Right.
It's not a matter of if, it's just when.
We talked about this on TDO. Was that Tuesday or Monday?
Yes, it was. I can't remember which day.
And I think it was actually Monday. And I said at the time that it would be very unlike Apple to try to stop someone else from doing something. Because Apple, genuinely speaking, focuses its negotiations on what it will do.
Right. And I think I said something like, if Apple actually is actively pursuing a strategy of stopping the free music services from happening, then that would be a big change from the way they've done things in the past.
But I gave myself an out. I gave myself a caveat. And that caveat was, unless Apple's angle is that the free models aren't sustainable, and therefore Apple's actually trying to shift the industry to a model that is sustainable.
And I agree that would, yeah, if Apple were doing such a thing, that would be a reason why.
And it seems like that's actually the case. So, the first of all, that Apple is doing this. So my knee jerk saying that Apple wasn't unless was just wrong. But the unless part, at least, I got right. It seems like Apple is trying to kill off the free services because the free services are not sustainable. For instance, someone getting 1 million plays and getting $300 for their 1 million plays just doesn't seem like it's working. And it's not, it quite frankly is not working. The free models are, the ad-supported free streaming models just aren't working.
No. Well, no. Certainly not for the artists.
Right. They may be, but it's unclear they're really working for anybody, including the streaming services. I mean, you know, Spotify and Pandora and whomever, they're not rolling in the money.
No, they're not. So, yeah, that would support your idea that the free streaming service business model is not a serious revenue generator. And services like Spotify and Pandora, the majority of their subscribers are using the free ad-supported models.
Right. And the question, of course, is, I mean, like, would Apple try to get the free ad-supported services killed just so that its service looks better? I have
a hard time with that.
Yeah, it seems more to me. I mean, every time Apple has entered some of the media space, it's always been from the standpoint of, you guys are doing it wrong, and here's how to do it right. Like, digital downloads. Apple forced the labels. Actually, Apple won concessions from the labels based on its small market share at the time. Because if you remember, iTunes was Mac only at first.
Yes, it was.
Mac and iPod only. And they won concessions, which were, let us sell songs for 99 cents a piece. And this is, you know, Steve Jobs felt like that was what consumers wanted, and that was how to wean them off piracy. And it worked for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And Apple went to the book industry, and Apple said, you know, let's go to the agency model because you guys are doing it wrong. And the industry did so, and of course Apple got sued for antitrust violations along with five of the publishers.
Right.
And lost. And has a court monitor who is turning into essentially a judge's investigation tool, which is weird. And is probably going to get thrown out. Probably illegal. Yeah, it's going to get thrown out. And Michael Bromwich is going to find himself out of a job. But anyway, the point is that was another situation where Apple said, what you're doing is not working and it's not sustainable. So here's what you need to do to actually make it work. And Apple did the same thing with movies and TV with the studios and networks. And so, I could see Apple doing this because the streaming model has never worked. The ad supported streaming model has never worked like radio.
But yeah, that's absolutely true.
It's never, you know, radio has made lots of people lots of money, and the ad supported streaming services have not.
Well, I'm assuming part of the problem is that the record labels felt that streaming music on the internet was no different from radio, other than the delivery medium. So instead of a radio wave, it's just a digital signal coming through a cable.
Well, you've got that, plus the fact that people are actually, internet ads are largely accountable. because you know the results. You know your clicks, and you know your exposure. You know exactly how many eyeballs or ear holes you've gotten. And with radio and TV, that was always sort of this...
a very nebulous thing.
Yeah, and the television stations and the radio stations have profited handsomely from that.
Yeah, that's true. They really have.
And newspapers did before that. And magazines did too. And, you know, once all this stuff started moving on to the interwebs, as things became more and more accountable, content providers like us have found it more and more difficult to make money.
Yes, that's true. It's amazing what accountability has done for advertising dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Done two
advertising dollars. Yeah, done two advertising dollars. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be, I don't know, it's interesting to see here, and it's interesting to see what the DOJ and the EU are going to have to say about this. The EU has always been a lot more proactive in protecting consumer rights and protecting its citizens, its members, from the predations of large corporations. Our DOJ has largely been hands-off, and then when they go hands-on, they make idiotic mistakes like the iBooks antitrust case.
Right, yeah, where they ruled that unsustainable business models need to be protected.
Well,
and by unsustainable, in the ebook case, for everyone except Amazon, it becomes unsustainable.
Right. Well, and you know, but we've talked about this so often, but I just can't let that go. I mean, the real problem with the ebooks/iBooks case is that one company had monopoly power, and several other companies came to a horizontal price agreement, which is, as I understand it, legal in the face of a market where someone has monopoly power.
Mm-hmm.
And that Apple didn't actually orchestrate anything. Apple merely gave folks the tools to reach their own agreements.
Right. And in the end, the federal government essentially said, we're going to support Amazon having monopoly control over this market.
With the agreement of Judge Denise Koch.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. It's going to be interesting to see if Apple lands in trouble again. If Apple is putting considerable efforts to get the labels to end all free, that could actually get Apple in trouble, I guess is my point. I don't get whether or not advertising supported free streaming is viable. This could get Apple in trouble.
It could. And, of course, we also could find out that this is simply a case of the record labels saying, look, you know, the ad-based streaming thing isn't working out for us. We need a catalyst to be able to break out of that. And then here comes Apple, and they're like, hey, here we go.
Yeah, but the stories that we're getting is that Apple is the one that's doing the pressuring.
Yes.
I think someone at Spotify called, is it like Apple executives all the way up to Tim Cook are cutthroat?
Yeah.
So it's... yeah, I don't know. This could end up getting Apple in trouble, and the timing on it, I don't know. It'd be interesting if it ends up having an effect on their appeals against the iBooks conviction.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens with that. That this could play out very poorly for Apple.
It could, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess now we wait and see.
Yeah.
And poke around and speculate.
Poke around, speculate, yeah.
As yep. we do.
Yep. You know what? I think we have a sponsor.
Cool.
Well, maybe. Should probably have known that ahead of time. Let's see here. Here's an email from Dave. And what is this, May 6th?
This is May 6th.
Lynda.com. Love those folks.
Sweet. I do love those folks, too. I got an email just today saying they have more training videos out.
Oh, really? That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Now, Lynda's one of our favorite sponsors of all time. We've always been blessed with great sponsors, with great products. But Lynda.com has got it going on.
They do. They're all that and a bag of chips.
Yeah, kind of like Stacy's mom. They've got it going on.
Just like Stacy's mom.
No, very, very different. Very, very different. But it's really kind of like it. Yeah. Nonetheless, Lynda.com, they do training videos where you can go and learn all the things. Well, not all the things. Most of the things.
You can learn a lot of things.
You can learn. They have more content than you could probably reasonably go through in your lifetime. That's what I'm guessing.
You'd have to be very devoted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is, we're talking about productivity software. We're talking about creative software, graphic design, Photoshop, your Excels, your pages, your numbers, your Word, your PowerPoint, your Keynote, they've got, we found, last time we talked about Lynda, we found a bunch of stuff on fonts.
That's true, which is really cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's just lots of music recording. Lots and lots and lots.
You could learn how to do a podcast.
Yeah, well, we should take that one because we need it.
Oh boy,
but they offer all this stuff for a subscription that you can get to. But as part of their sponsorship with us, they'll give you 10 days free.
Oh, that's awesome.
10 days of free access to all the things that they have out there.
That's true. Completely unrestricted access for 10 days.
Yeah.
That's a lot of content if you can stay up that long.
It is a lot of content. But practically speaking, you could pick something that you want to do. That you've always wanted to learn how to do. It's like, I've always wanted to learn how to use Microsoft Word, or I've always wanted to learn how to use Photoshop, which I mean that's probably a lot of people. I've always wanted to do this thing. Well, you've got 10 days. You can go and do it.
Yeah,
for free.
I love how the videos are put together because they're in digestible chunks, mm-hmm. so you learn a topic, mm-hmm. and then you can watch the next one and learn a topic. And by the time you're done, you've learned all this stuff about whatever the subject is that you're really interested in.
Yeah, and this free thing, I know we've told our listeners this before. I just love the fact that they're giving people 10 free days of access to all this stuff. And I mean, take advantage of this. Go and learn something. Go and pick the thing you want to learn. Don't think about it as, oh my goodness, there's 3,000 different training courses and what am I going to pick? Pick a thing. Pick that thing you've always wanted to do. Do you want to learn how to program?
You can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have Swift classes online.
Yeah.
So you can make the next great iPhone app with its Apple Watch companion.
Yeah. And go and do it. Just go and do it. Go sign up.
And then tell me so I can try out your app and talk about it.
It's lynda.com/ACM.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so lynda.com/ACM, and you get 10 free days of as much training and content as you can possibly pack into your head.
Right. lynda.com/ACM. lynda.com/ACM. You can, if you end up staying with them, you can do yearly stuff and you can do monthly stuff. And it's just, go and check it out, man. Take this free opportunity. Go learn that thing that you want to learn. I love learning. And then tell us what you do with it.
Yes, please do. And then you can inspire us, and maybe we'll go get smarter. Tell us what you're doing anyhow. Maybe you'll inspire us.
Maybe, yeah. Let's just not get carried away with the whole notion that we're somehow going to get smarter, because that just doesn't seem likely.
No, but we can live in hope. Anyhow, lynda.com /ACM.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, thank you. Thank you to the folks at Lynda for sponsoring us. All right, so a bit of silliness we had that we're going to close out this show with, and that's this fellow Michael Blair writes over at Seeking Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guy that, it's kind of weird. He actually brags about being a long-time Apple bear. I mean...
Mm-hmm. which doesn't mean he's, like, really hairy or anything.
No.
Just,
it means
just that he's very positive about Apple.
Very positive that Apple's going to do poorly any day now.
Yeah.
Any day now. And he's proud of it. He's a long-time Apple bear. So Apple stock has gone up and up. And admittedly, it went down. And up and up and up, and admittedly, a little down again. But, you know, that trajectory has been up and up and up. And he's been a bear for a long time, and he's proud of that, which is just crazy.
It's like he's just sitting here knowing that Apple is about to just implode at any minute. So even though Apple keeps rising and rising and becoming more successful and is like the most valuable company on the planet, they're just going to end. It's coming soon, gang. Which is kind of crazy.
It's coming soon, yeah. And at least he puts his money, or at least some of his money, where his mouth is. He brags that he's been short on Apple a long time, which means that he's lost a lot of money.
I don't think that's a good thing to brag about if you are a financial analyst. Just
I don't know that he's a financial analyst. He writes about Apple at Seeking Alpha.
Oh, well, then I'm glad he's not a financial analyst if he's continually losing money.
Fair enough. Yep, I certainly wouldn't give him any money. Not even a little bit. But he put out a piece, and he actually said that Apple's Nader. I keep doing that. Because it rhymes with Ralph Nader. Plus, of course, there's the Nader boson.
That's right, the Nader boson. The singular point of Nader.
Right, exactly. But he says that Apple's Nader is on the horizon. There's quotes around that. On the horizon, which means that you can kind of see it coming.
Now, okay, so now Apple has more money in the bank than anyone can count.
Mm-hmm.
They are selling smartphones as fast as they can make them all around the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
they
mm-hmm.
have computer sales that are increasing in a market that has for many quarters sequentially been declining.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They have a music store that's doing well.
Yeah, it probably doesn't make a lot of money.
I've heard that the iTunes store, if it was its own company, would still be a Fortune 500 company.
Yeah, all right. Fair point, sir.
So that's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be able to draw in a hefty profit every quarter.
Yep. More money than most companies. More money than the other top companies will most of the... Anyway, a lot of money.
A lot of money. And yet, with all of that happening for Apple, you can look to the horizon and see their demise looming,
lowest,
and getting closer by the
company's
day.
Lowest point ever. That's what a nadir is. It's the lowest point that a company or individual has ever known.
Okay, so just to give us a kind of a baseline here, what are some of the low points we've had to deal with from Apple already?
Well, let's see here. We've got the rule of John Sculley, which was not in hindsight from here, that was certainly not a nadir, but at the time it was. By the time John Sculley was out, Apple was hurting. Mm-hmm. You've got the rule of Michael Spindler, where the company just completely spun out of control.
Wasn't Michael the CEO that ended up hiding under his desk?
Yes, yes.
And that's a low point when your CEO is hiding under his desk.
Yes, that is, in fact, to me, that would be a low point. Although I think that, ironically, the lowest point that Apple may have actually reached would be when the company had 2 weeks of money.
So that would have been after Steve Jobs came back.
Yeah, yeah. After Steve Jobs came back, Apple ran out of money and was almost broke and had to get a bailout from Microsoft in the form of $150 million investment that Microsoft was allowed to make. You know, it's so funny. Steve licensed what it learned from the Xerox PARC, and that license was allowing Xerox to invest money in Apple.
See, that's just brilliant.
How about you let me come over to your house? I'm going to take around and see what I like, and in exchange for that, I'm going to let you put some stuff on my refrigerator.
That's,
man. And I'm gonna eat that stuff, and I'm gonna grow stronger. Does that work for you?
Man, I need a business model like that.
Well, you need Steve Jobs selling whatever the heck it is you're making is what you need.
That's what I need.
So, you know, the same thing. Steve negotiated with Bill Gates. Got Bill Gates to commit to making Office for 5 years, and then also bought $150 million of restricted stock. Of Apple's restricted stock. So you know, giving Apple the cash flow it needed to get through the next several months, because Steve did in fact have a turnaround plan in progress. As a matter of fact, some of that turnaround plan was executed by the person that he usurped, and that would be Gil Amelio,
right?
Who did a lot of Steve's dirty work for him. We talked a little bit about that on TDO this week.
Yes, we did. Yeah,
but you know, we have things like the Lisa debacle. We have the Performa Centris Quadra morass. We've got the Apple III. We've got the Mac Portable. We've got the TAM, which was probably I love that machine. You know how much I love the TAM, the 20th anniversary Macintosh.
I love it too. Yeah, you loved it so much you had two.
I did. I had two. Eventually sold them both, but I had two. And the TAM has got to be the ultimate representation of everything that was wrong with Apple at the time.
Yeah, I think that kind of plays into the whole Apple's engineers were wildly out of control.
Yeah, in this case, the designers and the engineers, because I'm pretty sure that Johnny Ive was involved with the TAM, too. But
well, he was a kid, and they're like, here, go play in the candy shop.
Yeah, exactly. We've got the company that had Pink Intelligent with third part with the IBM and, was it Novell? That was involved?
I don't remember.
I am...
Wow.
Looking that up. Object-oriented operating system. That one, okay, that one was with IBM. And then Pink was with... it was kind of related to Intelligent. Am I getting that wrong?
Regardless, it was a string of major investments on Apple's part.
Yeah.
For products that never, ever shipped.
Yeah, never shipped. Copeland was going to be the operating system to end all operating systems, and in fact, it was almost the operating system that ended Apple. And you know, we've got the Newton, which another product I love, but was largely we have all of these low points in Apple's history, but here Apple is firing on all cylinders, making more money than all the other people, all the other companies, and Michael Blair says that their nadir is on the horizon.
So now we have our baseline.
Yes, now we have our baseline.
And he sees something worse than all of those things coming in the near future for Apple.
Yeah, near future. Yeah. Yeah, iPhone sales are going to tank any day now. He's been saying this for years. But, you know, any day now, they're going to tank. Android awesome phones are just, you know, just going to clean Apple's clock. Apple is going to be losing market share in the smartphone market because market share matters, according to him. Samsung, boy, the S6 is just going to... Just gonna punch Apple in the neck. Sure. Mac sales, you know, this is one of my favorite things. He actually said that Mac sales rose. So he goes on and on about Microsoft. About market share. And he, which, you know, is all about unit sales compared to other unit sales. And here we have, and he gets to the Mac, a market where Apple has been gaining share for years.
Consistently,
right? And a market where Apple had a 10% unit sale increase year over year, in a market that went down 7% year over year, which was, I mean, it's just a huge gain. And he suddenly shifts to looking at revenue increases, where Apple had a 10% unit increase, but only a 2% revenue increase for Mac sales. But, you know, here's the guy for whom market share is the only thing that matters, and now he's going to shift and use a different metric without actually explaining that he's using a different metric. Sloppy. I hate sloppy writing. I hate sloppy writing, and I hate the people who are intellectually sloppy. Michael Blair, intellectually sloppy. Don't like it.
So, Brian, what are you saying? Are you saying that you think he's wrong on his whole Nader thing?
Yes, I think he's wrong. Apple, the zenith behind us, Nader on the horizon. See, like, let me read this quote. In my view, Apple's best days for the iPhone are behind it. And this is, now he's specifying iPhone. The iPad is in near free fall with sales down 29% year over year. Mac sales pretty well stalled with 2% growth over 2014. That's where he's conflating numbers. And services revenue growing at an anemic 9% rate in a market growing in the 20% range. Actually, not sure where he's getting his numbers there. At the end of the day, Apple is the iPhone and not much more. A few million units of the Apple Watch or a few billion in consumer purchases through Apple Pay will not come close to filling the gap if iPhone volumes drop 20 or 30 million units annually. And that is what I expect to take place in the coming quarters because something blah, blah, Android and BlackBerry.
And BlackBerry.
He didn't actually talk up to BlackBerry in this piece, but he's been a big BlackBerry fan for years.
That probably tells me everything I need to know right there.
Yeah. So Apple death knell number 69, that was. I mean, it's just crazy. It kind of comes back to that. We talked about this a couple months ago. I called it the faith-based approach to believing that Apple is doomed. You know, all evidence to the contrary aside, Apple is just doomed because something. Right. And it's like Apple's fresh off yet another record quarter and something. Just, you know, I've got faith. I've been an Apple bearer for a long time, and I've got faith that this time is just right around the corner. It's just, man, it's just weird. It's weirdly delusional and intellectually sloppy. I do not like intellectually sloppy people. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Hadn't picked up on that. No, but I agree with you. Especially when it's something like this, where the information they're providing, it seems to be disconnected from reality.
It really does seem to be disconnected from reality. Now, I do believe that Apple is, I'm not going to say over-reliant on the iPhone, because I don't think that applies to Apple, because the whole ecosystem is, it's all part of the same thing. But should Apple in any way stumble with the iPhone, or, you know, like if some freakish thing happens in the Android world and we get another kind of play where, you know, Android benefited for probably 2 years, 2.5 years maybe, from having big screens before Apple did.
Right. And then the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus came along.
Right. But there was that two and a half year period where the iPhone 6 did not come along. And Apple was behind the eight ball on that stuff. Or behind the curve, whichever phrase you want
behind
to use.
Behind the curved eight ball.
There you go. And it is possible that the Android world could find some other thing along those lines where they're ahead of Apple. And if they were, if this Android ecosystem as a whole were to do that, Apple would be hurt, and the stock price would be hurt a lot if iPhone sales ended up falling. Which is, you know, what's why Apple is doing the Apple Watch. It's why Apple is doing the car. They're looking to significantly diversify the revenue streams so that they don't look over reliant on the iPhone.
And that's smart. I mean, they're doing this now as opposed to at some point down the road when they have to scramble to try and make up revenues.
Yeah, well, and these are just the products we know about.
Right.
I have zero doubt that there are additional products that are being developed at Apple, you know, different additional markets that are being looked at for their for Apple's ability to disrupt them. So that they can enter in future years.
Which is smart. So I'm thinking this Nader on the horizon is, oh, yeah, that's my Chicago cover band name.
Nader on the horizon.
Anyhow, I don't think this Nader on the horizon that he's seeing is actually what he thinks it is.
Well, now here's the best thing is the fact that he says the Apple Zenith is behind it. The title was Apple Zenith. Actually, let me get the title here. Where's my title? Professionals, folks.
Yeah, trained professionals.
Yeah.
Well, mostly housebroke.
Stall for me here.
Oh, right. Anyhow, do you want me to come up with more cover band names?
Here we go. I found it. Do that. Apple Zenith behind us. Nader on the horizon. Well, that is something that's actually measurable. If Apple has another Zenith, which, by the way, Apple will, you know, that will actually put, because, you know, you could always say that something's coming.
Sure.
You know, it's always winter. Off in the distance. Yeah, but saying something specific is behind us, and if it turns out that it's not behind us, well, that's actually measurable.
Right. So if next quarter has higher numbers than the current quarter, then we know that the Zenith is not behind us because Apple is still on the rise.
Yeah. Well, okay, that actually won't happen. Apple actually guided lower for the third quarter is never going to be Apple's biggest quarter.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. We're coming up on the third quarter.
Yeah, the question is whether or not Apple's stock.
Yeah. All right, so if I say this fiscal year, if it is higher numbers than the previous fiscal year, then we have hard numbers saying that the Zenith is not behind us.
Correct. You know, if the stock were to actually move to, you know, another record high. Currently, it's actually off its record highs by a couple bucks. But anyway, it's just like Trip Chowdhury saying that if Apple doesn't announce the Apple Watch in 60 days, they're destined for irrelevancy. You know, it's measurably stupid and intellectually sloppy. I don't like intellectually sloppy.
Neither do I. And if only I'd had an Apple Watch to put a timer on so that I would know when those 60 days were up.
It's true. Of course, we did mark that. That was a year ago. We marked that 60 days.
We did. And no. And there was no Apple Watch announcement in that 60 days. And it sure doesn't look like Apple is on the decline.
Yeah, not quite destined for relevancy yet. And believe it or not, we got through an entire show.
You know, I am often amazed.
Perpetually.
All right. How about if we wrap us up then?
Yeah, please do.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at ecm@macobserver.com. And thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And that's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.
I sent some doobies.
I got some little wafers. Kind of excited by that.